Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the 11th chapter of Matthew with 30 verses, translation and commentary. And also, this is part 12 of Receiving the Fullness of the Stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a few letters, but right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask him to anoint with his outward anointing the ministering spirit that the Lord baptized Jesus with in the form of a dove when it landed upon him and the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, out into the same thing that he does us, out into the world, that we may show the Lord that our devotion to him and our affection towards him and our fidelity to him is greater than our fidelity, affection, devotion of the world. So we're all in the world. This is a world, it's a wilderness, and we're being tested. The Lord wants to see if we deserve, if we merit entering the kingdom of heaven. Now, a lot of people are preaching today, Father, that we don't do works, but your word says different. It says that you want to live and work in us, that you have created us as human vessels in your likeness and image for you to live and work in. You build us in your image and likeness so that you could fit in us, because you're exactly in the same form as we are. You said, let us make man in our image. In our image, let us make man. And so we're like gloves for you to fit in. And you want to do your work in and through us. Now, you paid for our salvation. You paid for our bodies because you gave your body so that we would be convicted enough and sensible enough to let you use our bodies. Your word says that, know ye not, and you're talking to us, human beings, know ye not, you human beings, that your bodies are the temple of God, and that you don't belong to yourself? Because you paid for us with a price. You paid for us with your precious life, and your blood was shed for us on the cross. Now, if we buy a home, or if we rent an apartment, we want to be able to live in that house that we paid for or we rented, or that apartment, and we don't want anybody really invading our privacy and telling us what we must do inside that house. That's our house. And we are to be your house because you paid for us. And that's why you demand that we consecrate ourselves, that we be consecrated away from the world. That is the purpose of consecration. That is the demand you make on us, that we separate ourselves from the world because you paid for us that with the greatest price, that far greater than money or diamonds or rubies or pearls. You paid for us with your perfect divine life and your precious blood. And you took away our sins, but that isn't enough. You want to live. You washed our sins away, making our bodies, our spirits, our souls, clean enough for you to come in and live in. Now, we're your house. We're your apartment, and you don't want to abide in us or live in us with somebody else, with especially Satan, the spirit of Satan. And so therefore you tell us to consecrate ourselves, separate ourselves from our old life, which was no life at all. It was like a purposeless, uneventful, dead thing. And you moved into our vessels with your permanent, everlasting life. You washed all our former sins away and drowned them in the sea of your forgetfulness and don't remember them again against us ever, unless we decide to turn back and go into the world. Unless we decide to not let you move into our house. which is not our house anymore, but it is your house now, and you want to live out your life in us, and you don't want any of our former life living in us because it's your house now. You paid for it. And what you did is paid for us in the Old, and the New Testament says in the original Hellenic Greek that we're slaves. Slaves are purchased, and servants are hired. Hirelings can go home at night, but slaves are owned, and they have to stay, they have to abide, they have to live with the master, and the master does what he will with them. And so therefore, because you paid for us with the greatest price ever, we are commanded to be consecrated, and we cannot. How can we be consecrated if we don't have some new power, some new permanent life in us? A dead tree cannot bring forth leaves or fruit. No matter how you preach to them, by bear thou fruit, bear green leaves, a dead tree can't do it. Something supernatural has to happen to that dead tree before it can bring forth fruit again and green leaves. And that something is that the supernatural has to take over. The kingdom of heaven must be at hand. It must move into that dead tree, and it must, your supernatural power, your immortal life-giving spirit, must move into our vessels, and our vessels must be willing. Our mind must be willing, our spirit must be willing to let you live out your life in and through us. Otherwise, we are considered by you to be chaff for the burning, to be burnt, because we're of no value to your eternal purpose, your desires at all. So, Lord, we ask, and we know that eternal, immortal, permanent spirit comes into us by faith. Faith in your word. Now, Jesus, your word says that God is the word. The word of God is God. And that Jesus, who is also God, there's only one God, these three are one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God came to the world as a man, and his name was Jesus. He had to come as a human man in order to have genuine human blood to shed for the sins of the world. And that he taught us what you, Father God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all about. And that you paid for us and we belong to you. If we don't want to belong to you, then we're not going to live eternally with you in heaven. And we're not going to spend eternity any other place but hell and the lake of fire. And we did that to ourselves for rejecting permanent, immortal life, rejected allowing you to come into us because you paid for us. And we said, we don't care that you paid for us, that you gave your life for us, that you shed your blood for us. We don't want to you to live out your life in us. We want to live our own life. Therefore, the people that believe this way are counted to be unworthy of immortal, eternal, permanent, everlasting life. Lord, your word gives us faith. Faith is acquired by hearing. And the hearing must be of the word of God. Hearing the things of the world does not build faith in you, Father, you, Jesus, you, Holy Spirit, but hearing your word, hearing God, builds faith in God. And therefore, we ask, Lord, that you give us great faith in this message, that you open up the eyes, the spiritual eyes, and open the spiritual ears. so that people have a spiritual ear to hear spiritual things, things that are for eternal life, for eternity, for permanency. Lord, we ask it that the church, that the sinners be saved out in the world by hearing this message, and that the church, those that believe themselves to be Christians, will be edified to the point to where they'll repent and stop living their own life, because we have to be like you. We have to be crucified with Christ. We have to be crucified on the cross with you. We have to be buried with you in baptism, and we need to be resurrected in eternal, permanent, everlasting life by your resurrection, and ascended with you and ruling with you in this world. You called us for this purpose, to use us to rule according to your will in this world, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that way, when we allow you to do all these things, you will give us our daily bread. We're considered righteous if we allow you to move into our bodies and make it your home. And nobody else's home but yours. Now, we're allowed with our new life to live in there with you, but you will not allow us to live our own life. And therefore, people have to utterly forsake their old life and take up the cross, deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow you. And then, if we put first the gospel, the good news, which is to be, to let our old life die, to be buried, and resurrected, and ascended, and ruling, and becoming the fullness of the stature of Christ, and experiencing spiritual warfare, then we belong to you. Then you know we belong to you, and you know us, and we know you, and therefore we will spend eternity with you. We're your home, and we want you to know that, Father. And I pray that hundreds of millions of other people realize that they belong to you as well, and that they want to give up this old life that has no prosperity in it whatsoever at the judgment bar of God, unless they've totally surrendered their entire life unto you. Lord, your word is God, and we pray that you, everything that's done on this tape will be anointed. That will be for the winning of souls and for the edification of human souls, that they can be God men and women, because you live in us, and so therefore we are God men and God women. And the world needs to see God men and women, because there's so many godless people in this world today. And we pray that they'll be saved, Lord, and let you live out your life, to live and work in and through them in this world. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now, where is the first letter from?
El Reno, Oklahoma.
El Reno. Now, I went to prison for the gospel's sake, and so did Jesus. And, you know, self-righteous people will never go to prison because they're just too good. But I'm glad that I belong to one of the most exclusive club in the whole world, us jailbirds. I'm talking about the prophets, Jesus, the apostles, and those of us in these last days that are really of the Lord. The Bible says that if you're really of the Lord, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, and they'll be persecuted and falsely accused. And he says some of you will be thrown into prison, and some of you will be killed because you love me. And so if you are not being persecuted, I mean, we don't ask for persecution, or if none of you if some of you have never been through trials and tribulations, try being a Christian and embrace any persecution that comes your way. Love it, because the Bible says to rejoice exceedingly, because the prophets that were before us were prosecuted falsely and persecuted in the very same manner. And so people should not be ashamed of it. But I remember when I was in El Reno, that's a federal penitentiary over there, I was in there when the windows were all broken in the main part and pigeons would be flying around inside the place. And now they built a new prison over there, a federal prison. They have a little airport outside there. And I can relate to people in prison. Now and I couldn't understand why the Lord sent me there, but I had been out of the general population for so long because I primarily stayed inside bringing messages and writing literature and things like that. And the Lord placed me right in there with all these sinners. And actually, thousands of them were saved by my being in prison. And I got to know the new batch of sinners in this world today as never before. Muslims were saved. Catholics were saved. All these false religions, people that were Hindus and Buddhists and everything, they all got the gospel. And I still communicate to many of the people that are in prison. And when they got out, I still communicate with them. And they saw me under fire in prison because of the false accusations that the media has stated again, have printed and have stated falsely against us on television and radio. And they know that it's false because they saw me being a Christian. They saw me that I was dead and that God was living in and through me. One of the people that got saved through me in prison and his friend, they said it wasn't so much the things that you said when you were there, but your boldness to stand up against the guards and also those Nazi skinheads in the prison, the Muslims, the Mexican mafia, the Tong gang, the Bloods, the Crips, the Bones, and all the different gangs there. I stood up against them with the Word of God, and they got saved. I actually won gang leaders unto the Lord. One of them was Reggie Jackson when I was in the Memphis prison. He was the head of the Bones gang, and he got saved. He was a Muslim. On top of everything, a black Muslim, and turned out to be a very good Christian, and wrote three pieces of literature, and we have those pieces of literature available to him. He was a very good writer, and was able to express his love for the Lord in the form of three pieces of literature. But anyway, here is a letter from a man in El Reno, so let me hear what he has to say.
Tony Alamo, may God continue to bless you and your hard workers as well. I have been reading your Christian literature for almost 3 months. My roommate would share everything with me which you had sent to him. Well, Pastor Tony Alamo, my brother in Christ transferred from here about 5 weeks ago, and I'd like to have my name placed on your mailing list. I really do enjoy reading all of your holy and divine material. It has lifted my spirit from this unbelievable fallen state. God is using you as a spiritual net that is catching lost souls on all four corners of the world. I am scheduled for release next July 2006, and I'd like to know if you all have any kind of programs for ex-felons.
Oh, yes, we do. I mean, it's the same program for ex-felons or people that are self-righteous if they get saved, or people on the streets, or people that are considered normal people. We have, it's the same program for everybody. There's no number one gospel, number two gospel, number three gospel. There's no such thing as a number one hell, a number two hell, a number three hell, or number one heaven, or number two heaven. It's just the same for everybody. Those that let the Lord live out his life in and through them, those that are saved, will be in heaven, and those that are not will be in hell and the lake of fire. And we have a church here that is ready, willing, and able to show you how to allow the Lord to live in and through you, and show you how to become a fruitful soul winner, a person that really knows the Bible and knows how to gather souls, sheaves to bring and lay before the feet of the Father and before the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's no problem with that. And also, we help people when they're leaving prison. If they don't have good street clothes, we'll send them, if we have their measurements, they have to send those to us, and their size of shoes. We send you nice-looking street clothes to help you get started out in the world. And for that matter, if you want to serve the Lord, you can move right in with us and begin serving the Lord, as long as you keep the rules and regulations. Everybody has rules and regulations, even if you work at a hamburger stand. They have rules. You have to show up on time, and you have to be disciplined during the hours that you're working there. And when we're working, when we're allowing the Lord, when we've given our life to the Lord, whatever He wants to do is what is the thing to do. And then what else?
Please send what information concerning this issue, if possible. I'd love to become a member of your spiritual team. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you all. R.L. from El Reno, Oklahoma.
Okay, well, Steve Johnson and your wife, Joni, that would be nice if you or anyone else in the church would write letters to him and telling them that we read his letter on the tape. I understand that in a federal prison they're not allowed to have tapes unless they go to the head of the department. What they call them, the chaplain. If you go to the chaplain and request tapes, they are allowed to have the tapes shipped to them, and then they'll let you listen to them. I don't know if they still do that or not, but that used to be the norm there. But get a letter and tell them what we did on tape here, and see if they want to hear it. These tapes are being played all over the world, on every continent, and on not just on different radio stations. And they're put in my literature, the newsletters, and are on our website. Okay, go ahead.
And the next letter is from Andhra Pradesh, India. To Pastor Tony Alamo, warm greetings to you in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is coming soon. I am blessed through reading your encouraging letter. I felt so happy, and I am believing that it is God's will for me to carry his cross unto the perishing souls as one in spirit along with your ministry.
Right, that is a consecrated person, one that believes that the Lord saved you, washed you, he moved into you for his house, and let him do with you what he will. And that means you got to deny yourself, and he wants you to deny your old life, your self life, and take up the cross, shoulders, and follow him, and go and sin no more. Then what?
I am always concerned that there is nothing greater than bringing a perishing soul into the knowledge of Christ. I can give great witness that I had been beaten by the people just for the sake of preaching the gospel, but I was not discouraged, and I knew I could defeat Satan through prayer. We are always to be at his harvest until the last breath of our lives.
Right, and defeating the devil is by the power of God living in and through you, and by staying in prayer, that the Spirit of the Lord, and reading the Word, the Spirit of God will stay in you, and you'll have the power, for sure. Then what else?
We want to bear more fruit for Jesus Christ. I want Telugu gospel literature. We are distributing 3,500 tracts to the people in a week, and monthly 14,000 tracts are needed for me to take the gospel into the different villages. Not only through literature distribution, but by the grace of God, we are able to get the people's attention by presenting skits and outdoor preaching. We are believing that God has a specific plan unto pagans who need to realize his love. Through your ministries, many Hindu people have been converting into Christianity. God has been kind enough to enable me to conduct services every Sunday. I want to start many cell groups. Please pray for me. If you could help us through sending Telugu literature, I will be thankful to you, and we can focus our light together towards darkness. Please pray for our ministry needs. We want to provide food and clothes also to the villagers who are in need. Yours in His service, Pastor G. D. from Andhra Pradesh, India.
All right. Now, Brother Don Sweat, you can make sure that these people, that we, our print shop in the India area, will furnish this person literature, and also make sure after this program that you have to respond to me too, like you did not last night, to send somebody, this other person last night, some finances. And I want to send this person some, so I don't want to mention the amount on the show, on the program here, because the Lord doesn't like that. And we're to do it secretly, so remember again to ask me about the person last night and this one here after the program. Okay, and then what?
Then another letter from Zambia, Africa. Dearest World Pastor Tony Alamo, Christian greetings and great regards to you and your ministry in Christ's name. I trust you are well. We are also well. Pastor, first and foremost, thank you for your concern for the lost souls and for radically pursuing their salvation. Your messages are firm, solid, and uncompromised, and how I wish all preachers were of your caliber. The Lord would come in the next week, as the harvest would be gathered quickly. I received your parcel of mass suicide and earthquake with thanks, and immediately I went into distribution. Souls are being won, and prayer is being mobilized. So far, there are over 20 intercessors praying and reaching out, except I don't have a camera to show you what is happening. How I wish I had a video camera to show you how people are testifying about your literature. We are praying for an hour every day from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. We are seeing a revival as people are gripped with godly fear of what is about to come in mass suicide.
Well, I'd love to send them a video camera and tapes so they can do that, all right?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'd love to put that on our television tapes. We're starting... what's happening, I'm taking all of our tapes in, of the past, of our past television program that we were on 10 years, and I'm putting them on DVDs, and everybody will be able to see them on our website, and then we can also send them to people that want them. But we're going to start doing television very soon as well. Finally, we got an operator that is able to operate this new digital equipment that we just... put in our church, and we had placed in our church, and so we'll be putting out some real nice television programs soon. Thank God we're now not just in a track ministry, but we're all over the world and on radio, now television. Then what else?
Please send us 5,000 of your published tracts, as we all have run out. Send us also 15 Bibles for new converts. And in your parcel you said you would like to send either a t-shirt or sweatshirt of Alamo Christian Ministries. Please, I'd like a sweatshirt large size. Thank you in advance for your kindness and care. Can you also send us some music tapes? My neighbor has a cassette player, and I'd like to play your anointed music and preaching. Please forgive me for writing in hand this ink. This is what I can afford, but the gospel should go out at all costs. Recently, I walked for 70 kilometers to go and plant a church using your materials, and now there is a church there standing with 25 people. Please pray for the harvest. Looking forward to hearing and receiving the materials for the ministry. God bless you richly, your fellow worker in rural, remote Africa, Pastor L. C. from Zambia, Africa.
See, you people out in the radio land there, you could open a church in your area, because we'll furnish you with all the literature and these tapes, and people get saved by, all you have to do is be an evangelist and bring them in and let them hear the tapes, or listen to the tapes yourself, and you'll learn how to preach to people. And if you just start out in your house like Sue and I did many years ago, and God will just keep giving you the increase. Pretty soon you'll have so many people that you can't fit them all in the house. Then you'll have to start looking for a larger place, and it just goes that way. And people will come in and give tithes for you. They'll see the work that's being done. and they'll get behind you, and you'll get musicians, and you can have song services and all that. And I'll make sure that these people get some of our song tapes. Our tape room can make up some CDs or tapes for them to play, and let them have them. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and so I'd love to open churches all over the world, and if you or you know of any pastor that would like to open up a church with us, we will definitely provide all the literature, the Bibles, and we'll even if we see you really winning a lot of souls and you get in the bind, we'll do as much as we can financially with you as well. All right, then what? Let's open up thousands of churches. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, then what?
That was all the letters.
Oh, okay, so now this is the Matthew chapter 11 with the 30 verses. Let's start. Let's just go to the translation again because most people are reading their King James anyway. It's saying the same thing. All right, go ahead.
Jesus and John the Baptist, verse 1. When Jesus had finished giving these instructions to his 12 disciples, he went off teaching and preaching in towns throughout the country. Verse 2. John the Baptist, who is now in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus. Verse 3, quote, are you really the Messiah we've been waiting for, or should we keep looking for someone else?
See, this was really bad for him to do that because he saw the Spirit of God coming down upon him as a dove, and he heard a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, and he knew that was God. And now, just because of the fact that he went to prison and the Lord didn't get him out, he thought, well, you know, this is too rough. If this was really the Messiah, he would bail me out of here. But that just didn't fly. That, to me, was a breach of faith. And Jesus said so later on. He says that he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is better than him. Okay, and he was the greatest prophet, but that doesn't mean that the greatest prophet can't fall. And he was Elijah. And Jesus said, those of you that will receive it, he was Elijah. And when he was asked if he was Elijah, and he knew he was, he denied it and caused many souls to be lost because the people knew that before the Messiah comes to the world, first Elijah must come back to earth. And he came back in the form of John the Baptist. He was the spirit of Elijah entered him while he was in his mother's womb. He leaped in his mother's womb when he was filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the spirit of Elijah. All right, and so when he told the different people that, no, he wasn't Elijah, then the people didn't believe that that was the Lord. And it caused a lot of people to doubt, to not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus later stated, yes, those of you that will receive it, this John the Baptist is and was Elijah. Okay? And then what?
Verse 4. Jesus told them, quote, go back to John and tell him about what you have heard and seen. Verse 5, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news, the gospel, is being preached to the poor.
Now see, if this isn't God, what else could God do if he came to this world that Jesus didn't do? He did all the things that God, only God, could do. Okay, then what?
Verse 6, and tell him, quote, God bless those who are not offended by me.
See, in other words, like John the Baptist was offended because he never got, Jesus never got him out of the prison. He never made any attempt to get him out of prison because John got there by himself. He kept telling this king, that King Herod, that he was living in adultery because he was married to his brother's wife, Herodias, and then he committed incest with the daughter, And John just kept telling him and saying it and yelling it out by the castle, instead of just saying, okay, you're sinning, you're going to wind up in hell, and so on, and then go on and start winning souls. But he just stayed there and got himself in prison. And so a person like that, if you don't have enough sense to just stop haranguing one person that knows they're sinning and doesn't care, then, you know, the Bible tells us under Jesus' instructions, if you go to a village and that village rejects you, shake its dust off your sandals and go to another village. Amen?
Amen.
So if Herod and his prostitute wife were not receiving what he said, he should have just went on and started preaching somewhere else. Amen?
Amen.
But no, he just kept it up and finally got himself in there and lost his head. And now, after that, he starts saying, are you really the Christ? After Christ had given his disciples all of these instructions, if people don't receive you, then you go into a house and bless the house. And if they don't receive what you're saying, then take the blessing away from the house and get out of there. Don't even bless them with the word of God. The Bible says to honor all men, and that means preach the gospel to every person. Because if I don't preach the gospel to you or tell you the truth, then I'm not honoring you. God's meaning of honor is different than the world's meaning of honor. People that play basketball, football, baseball, and all these different sports, they're honored and exalted higher than they even think God is. And yet there's nothing honorable about them whatsoever. But I don't honor you by playing good basketball, football, baseball, but I do honor you by telling you the truth about eternity, that there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you accept the Word of God as your personal Savior. He that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ, whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved, but anyone that doubts shall be damned. Okay, Jesus, the Bible says, is the Word of God. So whoever believes in the Word of God shall be saved. And if you believe, then you'll do what it says. Because there's a horrible reward, the Word says, if you don't. So if you just continue on in your old life, instead of letting the Lord be your life, your permanent life, well, then you don't believe on the Lord, Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore you're damned. All right, then go ahead.
Verse 7, when John's disciples had gone, Jesus began talking about him to the crowds. Quote, who is this man in the wilderness that you went out to see? Did you find him weak as reed, moved by every breath of wind? Verse 8, or were you expecting to see a man dressed in expensive clothes? Those who dress like that live in palaces, not out in the wilderness. Verse 9, were you looking for a prophet? Yes, and he is more than a prophet. Verse 10, John is the man to whom the scriptures refer when they say, quote, look, I am sending my messenger before you, and he will prepare your way before you, unquote. Verse 11, quote, I assure you of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. Yet even the most insignificant person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is, exclamation mark, unquote.
Right, because he doubted the Lord. Those that doubt are damned. It doesn't make any difference how great he was. You can't get greater than the Word of God. If God says you're condemned, if you doubt, then you are condemned. So anyone that is the least in the kingdom of heaven is better than a prophet that backslid. Amen. The greatest prophet in the world. Okay, that's what that's saying. Amen.
Amen.
Right, then what?
Verse 12. And from the time John the Baptist began preaching and baptizing until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and the righteous people of the Lord take it by force and violence.
Well, why? Because the earth is the Lord's. He created it, and it was gained by Satan with a lie. So it's illegally gotten by Satan. Anyone that is not of the Lord is illegal, according to God. And therefore, those of us that the Lord is living in and working through are taking the world, the earth over, by living out, letting God live out his life here. Now, they may crucify us or kill us or put us in prison, but still the Lord is living in us. And if they kill us, I mean, we're in heaven that same day. You've made my day. Because that's what I'm working for every day of my life anyway, is to go to heaven. And so if it happens sooner, I get upset when people that have not been saved as long as I have get to go to heaven before I do. They die before I do. And so they're there. And I mean, but I know that the Lord wants me to be here, at least to this, up to this date, to get this gospel out. Because there are so few. But once a lot of people hear this gospel, they want to get it out. And so what this ministry has done is inspired thousands of people that are now preaching the truth about the Word of God. And they're letting the Lord live out his life in and through them. And that's what it's all about. Otherwise, if it's not the Lord living and doing the work in us, then it's not a work of the Lord. It's not a church of God. Because so we're all churches. We're part of one church, the body of Christ, the New Jerusalem, the temple of God. And we must be born again. Christ must abide in us, and we must abide in him. Abiding and Christ abiding in us. Two different things. Christ abiding in us, and then abiding means that we are living in by God living in and through us. He's living in and through us, and we are abiding in his word. Okay, then what?
And the righteous people of the Lord take it by force and violence, the kingdom of heaven. They bring it forth. Verse 13. For before John came, all the teachings of the scriptures looked forward to this present time. Verse 14. And if you are willing to accept what I say, he, John, is Elijah, the one the prophets said would come.
So all these false prophets today that say, well, when the two witnesses come, one is going to be Elijah. No, no, no. Elijah's already gone up to be in the heaven. Then he came in John the Baptist and he died. It's appointed unto man once to die. That's why he had to come back. And after this, the judgment. Okay, and so he doesn't have to come back and die again. Now, the one that is the two witnesses is Enoch. Enoch has to come back to earth because it's appointed unto all men to die, once to die. So Enoch is the two witnesses, he and his wife. Those are the two witnesses. It's not Moses, because Moses died. It isn't anyone else. The only one that's left that didn't die is Enoch. Enoch was taken. He walked with the Lord, and the Lord took him, and he has to come back. And I believe that he's already here on earth. Okay, and then what?
Verse 15. Anyone who is willing to hear must listen and understand! Exclamation mark.
You have to be willing to hear the Lord, the Word. Okay, then what?
Verse 16, quote, how shall I describe this generation? These people are like a group of children playing a game in the public square. They complain to the friends. Verse 17, quote, we played wedding songs and you weren't happy, so we played funeral songs but you weren't sad, unquote.
Now, there isn't anything you could do for people that don't want to serve the Lord. You tell them about the kingdom of God, that doesn't make them happy. And you can even tell them about the pit of hell and the lake of fire, and they just don't believe it. If they don't believe it, then you just shake the city off, or that those people, the dust of their house or their grounds off on you, off your sandals or your shoes, and go on to somebody else and witness to them. You haven't got time to just dwell on one person. There's a whole world full of people, billions of people to witness to. Then what else?
Verse 18, for John the Baptist didn't drink wine, and he often fasted. And you say, quote, he's demon-possessed, unquote. Verse 19, and the Son of Man feasts and drinks, and you say, quote, he's a glutton and drunkard, and a friend of the worst sort of sinners, exclamation mark, unquote. But wisdom is shown to be right by what results from it. Judgment for unbelievers.
Right, you know, there isn't any way you can go with people that don't want to go to heaven, that don't want to listen to the Lord. John the Baptist didn't drink. He didn't eat. They didn't believe him. And Jesus did drink a little wine, and also he did eat, and they called him a drunkard and a glutton. So there's no way you can go with people. They just are going to have in their mind a fixed situation. They're going to just figure out for themselves what the scriptures mean instead of receiving the scriptures as they are. Okay, then what?
Verse 20. Then Jesus began to denounce the cities where he had done most of his miracles because they hadn't turned from their sins and turned to God. Verse 21. What horrors await you, Chorazin and Bethsaida, exclamation mark. For if the miracles I did in you had been done in wicked Tyre and Sidon, their people would have sat in deep repentance long ago, clothed in sackcloth, throwing ashes on their heads to show their remorse. Verse 22, I assure you, Tyre and Sidon will be better off on judgment day than you, exclamation mark. Verse 23, and you people of Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? No, you will be brought down to the place of the dead. For if the miracles I did for you had been done in Sodom, it would still be here today. Verse 24, I assure you, Sodom will be better off on judgment day than you. Jesus' prayer of thanksgiving. Verse 25, then Jesus prayed this prayer. Quote, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding the truth from those who think themselves to be so wise and clever, and for revealing it to the childlike. Verse 26, yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way, exclamation mark. Verse 27, quote, my Father has given me authority over everything. No one really knows the Son except the Father. And no one really knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him, unquote.
And the Son is the Word of God. So the Word of God will reveal God to people. The more you read it, the more you're going to gain faith. Then what?
Verse 28. Then Jesus said, quote, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. Verse 30, for my yoke fits perfectly, and the burden I give you is light, unquote.
All right, now that was chapter 11, 30 verses, the translation, now the commentary.
Chapter 11, verses 2 through 6. Doubt is a damning reality for those of us who are attempting to recover into the spiritual realm or to become a person who is filled with the fullness of the stature of Christ. Many people doubt themselves, and many people doubt others. And that's good to doubt some others, but it's very wrong to doubt the Lord Jesus Christ or the Word of God. Even John the Baptist doubted that Jesus was the promised Messiah, and therefore I believe he was damned. He didn't believe that he was the one to come to offer physical, especially spiritual healing, salvation, and resurrection to his people.
Well, originally he did, because he saw and he heard God. He saw God baptize him with the Holy Spirit, and then heard God say that he was his beloved Son, the Messiah. in whom he is well pleased. And then he fell away. Okay, then what?
Jesus answered John's doubts by pointing out the different miracles, healings, and restorations that he had done. Such an impressive resume should be convincing to any one of the people in this world today that Jesus is the true Messiah, the Son of the living God, the Savior of the world.
Yeah. In other words, you turn in your resume so people could tell what you can do. So John says, well, are you God? Are you the one or the Messiah? Well, okay, here, I raise the dead. Anybody else you know do that? Amen?
Mm-hmm.
This is my resume. I heal everybody that comes to me that wants to be healed. Can you do that? No, not unless you're one of my disciples. And I heal cancer, leukemia, leprosy. I open up blind eyes and open up deaf ears. Can you do that? Raising the dead? And you see me ascend up into the kingdom of God? Can you do that? No, that's God. Amen?
Amen.
That's God. And you never saw anybody else do that? And you never will until you see yourself going up if you have the Spirit of God in you and it stays there until the end. And the only way it'll stay there is if you keep the commandments, if you walk in the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Okay, then go ahead.
And it should convince anyone that Jesus is willing and able to meet even our greatest need, that we may grow to the full restoration of the fullness of the stature of Christ. Chapter 11, verses 16 through 19. When we are in self-denial, we have a tendency to resist those who charge our comfort zones. What I am talking about is when we are in denial to keep the commandments of the Lord. We find excuses not to accept the good advice of others, good advice of the Lord, no matter what the Lord does or says, or what the people of the Lord say or do. Many people become cynical and try to justify their sinfulness, their inconsistencies. The message of growing to the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ is too joyful and too full of hope for some, or it is too realistic and direct for others. Growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ is too mapped out, too structured for many who are used to doing their own thing or thinking they can make it on their own. It's far too liberating for some people from a legalistic background. But such perspectives are only blind excuses that keep them from facing their need for salvation, for the Lord to grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ.
And now, the segment of our program, which is actually part 12 of Receiving the Fullness of the Stature of Christ. Receiving that fullness means that you're part of the body of Christ, the church. You cannot, outside the church, be part of the body of Christ. Because the true church is the body of Christ, and outside there, you are not part of it. So when you become part of the body of Christ and part of the work of God, then you're part, then you've grown to the fullness of the stature of Christ. And only then. And only then when you continue in the body of Christ. That's the New Jerusalem. That's the bride of Christ. Okay, then what?
One needs the position and much more the permanent eternal life of the Lord. This is true not only of the spiritual life, but also of the physical life. A statement made by a child is of very little significance. The same statement in the same situation at the same time, when spoken by an adult, has some measure of weight, and when spoken by an elderly person of 70 or 80 years of age, is more weighty. The weight of the word is measured according to age. When a certain age is attained, the word has depth. In like manner, authority is based on life. When permanent life matures, it can reign. Therefore, the experience of reigning depends on the maturity that a person has in permanent, eternal God's life living in them.
Right. A person that is a child, as I mentioned yesterday, cannot reign because when there's supposed to be taking care of important matters. They want to go out and play baseball, football, basketball, golf. they want to go out and dig in the dirt or swim or play baseball or something like that. But a person that is mature and has the fear of the Lord, their desire is good to exercise a little bit. Paul said that it profits a little. So it keeps you in good health. As a matter of fact, the Lord has told me to that I'll live an extra 20 years if I eat right and if I exercise. And he told me that I have to stay away from all dairy. That's butter, cheese, milk, ice cream, and a lot of things I love. You know, I love ice cream and all those things. And I love beef. And I can't have that because and then I like to eat, and he says I can eat half the time. That means 12 hours off, 12 hours on. A lot of times we get so busy that we just can't eat that many hours. But, you know, we must be part of the body of Christ. If you want to live longer and live a better health a lifestyle, you can do the same thing that I do, that the Lord told me to do. Right after that happened, I started hearing things on the news about how beef is so contaminated and all the dairy products that come from beef are contaminated. And so I thought, boy, that's really something how the Lord warned me about that a long time ago. And also another thing, too, is eating half the time only causes your heart to work hard half the time. So your heart gets a rest when you eat half the time. That's a form of fasting. And the Bible says that the two witnesses in the last day will be in sackcloth and ashes. They'll be in sackcloth. And that means that they'll be fasting. Now, it doesn't mean fasting for everything, but they'll be fasting maybe off of dairy products and beef and only eating half the time. You can't do what you want. It's the Lord's house. He paid for you, and he wants to do what he wants to do in you. And if you abuse that, well, then you could die 40 years younger, and he wouldn't be able to use that house of his as much as he wants to. So being it is, he says, know ye not that you're the temple of God, and you don't belong to yourself? Because so therefore, we're his slaves. We're bought by him. He paid his life for us, and it's our reasonable duty to do the same thing, to lose our old life and our own wants and desires, to deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow him, and go and sin no more. And we can do that if we just stay in the Word, and you'll see that it works. So now tomorrow, chapter 12, Matthew, and part 13 of receiving the fullness of the stature of Christ. Until then, stay in the Word. If you want to see God, God is the Word. Look in the Word. Look in the Bible. See the Word. And you're seeing God. And until then, this is Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you and praise the Lord always. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So he inhabits the praises of his saints. He comes down, and that's the power. Glory be to God. Amen.